Today's shir is sponsored as a zechus for a refuah shleima for Reuven Moshe ben Frida Brocha Gisa and Lahavda ben Chaim Lachaim Leili Nishmas Shena Necha Bas Rav Zev Dov. Shmuel Beis, Perek Gimel, we're up to Pasuk Zayin. We learned before there was the duel between David HaMelech's men and between the men of Ishbosheth, who was the king after Shaul, he was Shaul's son. And the men of Ishbosheth, Avner's army lost, Avner's men lost, they lost the war. Asael was chasing after Avner. Asael was a brother of Yoav ben Tsruya, who is the general of David. He was chasing after Avner, and Avner ended up killing him in self-defense. After that, Avner spoke to Yoav, and he said, there's no point in continuing this conflict. Let's just leave things as they are. Kol ha-netzach toch al cherev, is the battle going to go on forever? And the conflict stopped. Everyone went back, Avner went back to his place, and Yoav, who was David's general, went back to Hebron. But there continued to be a skirmish, a battle between the household of Shaul and the household of David. And David was on the rise, and the household of Shaul, meaning Shaul was already Nifter, but it was his son Ishbosheth was the king, was becoming weaker and weaker. But what kept the household of Ishbosheth going was his faithful general, Avner. And we mentioned the children that David HaMelech had. And now in Pasuk Zayin, we learn Ulashol Pilegesh. Shaul had a Pilegesh. Pilegesh is a wife, a concubine. It's not a wife where there's a ksuva, and where there's the regular responsibilities that a husband has to his wife, but she's designated for a man. It's not as important of a relationship as a wife. Pilegesh, a concubine. Shaul had a Pilegesh, Ushmo Ritzpah Vasaya, and her name was Ritzpah Vasaya. Vayomer el Avner, and he said to Avner, and we'll see in a moment it's clear that Ishbosheth is the one talking. Ishbosheth was again the son of Shaul. After Shaul was killed, Ishbosheth became the king over all of Israel, except for Yehuda that went with David HaMelech. So Ishbosheth was now the king. By Yomer el Avner, he said to Avner, Avner, I've been his trusted general. Avner, I've been the general already for Shaul. He said to Avner, Madua Bosel Pilegesh Avi, why did you come to my father's Pilegesh? You were intimate. He lived together with the Pilegesh of Shaul. Now, it's not clear. He never clearly admits, Avner doesn't admit whether he was guilty of the offense or not. But we'll see in a moment, he was very angry that Ishbosheth had this complaint. And he says, but in the next Pasuk, the end of Pasuk Ches, you remembered about me the sin of this woman. So it seems to be that it could be Ishbosheth, the Mefarshim say, indeed was Boel Pilegesh Avi. He was guilty of this offense. We'll see why he was angry. Ishbosheth felt there's a halacha that a person is not allowed to marry the king's almana. The widow of a king is not allowed to marry anyone else. A pilegesh is not, it's not the almana, but it goes into the category of you're not allowed to use whatever was designated for the king. You can't use the sharvit, the scepter that the king used. Whatever was belonged to the king, his personal items, were not allowed to others. And therefore, Ritzpah Vasaya, even though it wasn't the almana of Shaul, but it seems that she would be usher to anybody else. And Avner should not have been allowed to live with her. Avner, on the other hand, we'll see in a moment, felt that he was so critical and so crucial to the whole monarchy. He was the one who established Ishbosheth as the king. It wasn't a slight to the throne if he would take Ritzbah Vas Aya. Because it was almost like he himself was, we'll see in a moment, he was as powerful as the king. He was the force behind the throne. So he felt it really wasn't right, and he shouldn't have been criticized for it or spoken to it in such a harsh manner. Madua Bosel Pilegesh Avi was just bluntly to say, why did you do this offense? The Mefarshim discussed, was Ishbosheth correct in this, in criticizing Avner or not? On one hand, it seems to be a mila for Ishbosheth. Ishbosheth told the truth. Avner did something wrong, and even though Avner was very powerful, and we'll see in a moment, Ishbosheth seems to have lost as a result. Avner is going to leave him, and it's going to be a severe blow to the throne. But Ishbosheth spoke what he was supposed to, and he gave tochach, and he rebuked, and he didn't care about the consequences. So some look at it as a mila. You see his greatness, that he wasn't afraid, and he didn't have to take into consideration. He did what was right, regardless. Others look at it as a chesaron, that in order to ease the king, and a person should be ezel chacham harois anoylad. Somebody should see what are the consequences of his actions are going to be. We'll see at the end of the perek. For example, Yoav later on killed Avner. At the very end of the perek. And David HaMelech says at that point, he says, V'nochi hayom rachum ashuach melech. I'm still tender, I'm young, I've just anointed as the king. I'm new in this position. And the people of Bnei Tzruya are difficult people. Yishalim Hashem la'osei hara kira'aso. Hashem will pay back those who do evil like they deserve. So you see, by David HaMelech, when he felt he couldn't deal with Yoav, so he said Hashem will give him his punishment. So perhaps Ishbosheth was wrong for doing what he did. So there are different opinions. It's almost, you know, even in English, you know, somebody will tell you a certain person they know is just stubborn. And another guy looks at him and he says, not stubborn, he's determined. He's persistent. It all depends how you look at it. So Ishbosheth was the type who said it regardless. And the question is, was that correct or not? As we'll see, Ishbosheth seems to have lost from the fact that he was so critical of Avner. The problem came about through the Pilegesh Avi. Binyamin, Shevet Binyamin, already had an incident with a Pilegesh. In the end of Sefer Shoftim, there's the story about Pilegesh Begiva. A whole long discussion where the Pilegesh was mistreated and ended up being dying, and then there was a civil war and Binyamin lost. Here Binyamin again split off from Klal Yisrael, and they did not accept David HaMelech as the king. David was already the king in Hebron, and they persisted in remaining separate with Ishbosheth as the king. Could be this was sent as their punishment, the punishment that the fact Ishbosheth we're going to see is going to suffer, and Avner is going to end up being, they're both going to end up being killed. It came about through Pilegesh. As a reminder of Pilegesh Begiva, that's where Binyamin got their punishment, because again, they weren't part of Klal Yisrael, and they didn't join together with the rest, and here they didn't accept Malchus Beis David. Vayichar la'avner ma'oid. Avner was very angry, al divrei Ishbosheth, about the words of Ishbosheth. Vayomer, and he said, Harosh Kelev Anochi? Am I the head of a dog? The chief dog warden? I'm in charge of the dogs, you know, maybe the royal kennel or something. I'm in charge of the dogs. Ashil Yehuda, that go with Malchus Yehuda. As if to say, you know, if a general comes from a different country, but if he's the supreme commander, he's given tremendous honor. Doesn't make a difference where he comes from. If he's the general, people treat him with deference. Also, a king treats his own servants, his own household, those that he deals with, in a proper manner, even if they're not so important. Here, Avner is saying, I'm a general. And not only is he a general, he's the general of Ishbosheth. He's Ishbosheth's right-hand man. And you treat me and you speak to me in such a rough, such a harsh manner. Harosh Kelev Anochi, is my position like the person in charge of the dogs? Or is, I'm a general. I'm not a nothing. Why are you treating me like this? And also, Asher Li Yehuda, I'm part of your staff. I'm with Shevet Binyamin. I'm the general of Binyamin. You treat me like I'm the enemy, like I'm with Yehuda. Others learn that Taino or Rashi mentions the trup on Haroish breaks it up, that it's like it's not connected with the words afterwards. As if to say, Harosh, do you think I want to be the leader over here? Kelev Anochi Asher Li Yehuda. I'd rather be like a dog. I'd rather be a commoner in Yehuda than to be here in a position of importance and to be treated the way you treat me. Harosh Kelev Anochi Asher Li Yehuda. Am I the head of the dogs? I'm of Yehuda. Hayom Eseh Chesed. Today I would do a kindness. In Beis Shol Avicha, with the household of Shol, your father. Remember, he's speaking to Ishbosheth. I would have done a chesed with your father's household. El Echov, to the brothers of Shol, who obviously united behind Ishbosheth. Shol was killed, and his son took over. But all the brothers of Shol were all part of the household. Vel Meireyehu and all of the friends. Avner said, I would have done a chesed with all of you. David, and I didn't give you over into the hands of David. I'm protecting you. And you remember on me the sin of this woman today. In other words, all you notice is the fact, Madua Bosel Pilega Shavi, why did you do this crime? Avner was the one we learned before. He was the one who went around and he united Klal Yisrael under Ishbosheth. As Ishbosheth was only the king thanks to Avner. And Avner was the one who fought the wars, as we learned that skirmish that took place with Yoav's soldiers. Avner was there. Ishbosheth was home. And Avner had the whole control. We'll see in a moment he's going to shift the power to David. It was all in the hands of David. And in the hands of Avner. And Ishbosheth didn't realize what Avner had done for him, and he just criticized him. There is an interesting shmooze from Chaim Shmulevitz. He talks about the whole inyan of Hakaras HaTov. And just to quote a small piece of it, he mentions on Parshas Baaloscha, Rashi brings down, Loma nismacha parshas menorah la parshas nesiim. Why is the parsha of the menorah mentioned after the nesiim? It mentions what all the princes brought to the dedication of the Mishkan. And then it mentions that Aaron was given the mitzvah, baloscha saneros, to light the menorah. What's the connection between Aaron lighting the menorah and all of the nesiim bringing all of the Chanukas HaMizbeach, what was brought to inaugurate the Mishkan, the Mizbeach? And Rashi says, because Aaron felt bad, all the Nesiim participated in the Chanukas HaMizbeach, and his Shevet Levi, and he was left out of it. So Hashem said, no, you have a greater reward than they do. You're going to be able to light the menorah. The Ramban asks, if you wanted to single out what's so special about Aaron HaKoyim, what's so special about the Kohanim, why did he pick the menorah? We know bringing the Ketoris was a very special Avodah. Like it says in Bezois HaBrocha, Yosimu Ketoiris Ba'apecha, they bring the Ketoiris. Aaron HaKoyin, the whole Avodah of Yom Kippur, had to be done only by Aaron HaKoyin, and he went into the Kodesh Kadashim. And Shevet Levi was the Kohanim are the ones who gave a Brocha to Klal Yisrael. Why out of everything do you pick the Menorah? And the Ramban explains how it's connected with the Chashmonoim. It's referring to the fact centuries later, we would have the Menorah, with the zechus of the Chashmonoim, who are the Kohanim, who gave us that, the mitzvah of Menorah, of Neis Chanukah. But Rav Chaim Shmulevitz says an interesting pshat, which seems to be more what Rashi would mean, possibly. It could be, there's a medrash that says there were two people traveling on the road. One was able to see a bikeach, and the other person was suma. He was blind, lo aleinu. He couldn't see. The whole time they were traveling on the road, the blind man had to rely on the one with sight to guide him and to lead him and to help him walk. When they finally entered the house, and it was dark, the pikeach said to the suma, he said to the blind man, "You should light the candle, turn on the lights." So the blind man said, "The whole way along the trip, you're the one doing everything. Why do you now ask me to do this?" And the pikeach, the one who was able to see, answered, "That's exactly why. I know the whole trip you feel like you have to rely on me for every step of the right way, and it's so difficult for you, and you want to show your akaras hatayiv. Now we're in the house and it's black. It's dark. We can't see anything. Neither of us can see. I'd like you to be the one to shed light. You should turn on it. You should light the candle." That's the medrash. So too, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said they're traveling in the Midbar, and Hashem provided the light, and Hashem guided them and led them through the Midbar. But when they came into the Mishkan, Hashem said, "Klal Yisrael, now you can light the menorah for me." That's what's so special about the menorah. It's an opportunity to show our appreciation for the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has been leading us and giving us the light. We can light the menorah, which you don't have by the other things that Kohanim do. And he gives one other example. He gives many examples, but I'll just quote one other. It says by Reuven, when Yosef, the brothers decided that Yosef deserved to be killed. He was Chayev Misa, he was a Rodev, he was pursuing them, he kept on bringing bad reports to Yaakov Avinu, what the brothers were doing. Vayishma Reuven Vatzileyu Miyodam. Reuven heard, and he saved Yosef. The Medrash says, you know what he heard, what he understood? He said, "Yosef had a dream. There were 11 stars bowing down to me. I was afraid that later on, Reuven made a mistake with moving around the bed of Yaakov Avinu, by Yishkav Espila Pilegesh Oviv. Reuven had a certain thing he did wrong, and therefore he was afraid he'd be thrown out of Klal Yisrael. And Yosef had a dream that later on, when they get to Mitzrayim, later on, all 11 stars are going to bow down to him." Meaning, Reuven is part of the group. Reuven said, "I have such hakaras hatayiv that Yosef had a dream that included me with everyone else. I have to find some zechus, some way that Yosef deserves not to be killed." Even though they had paskin like a Sanhedrin, he was mechuyev misa, he felt he had to do something to save him. And he has many examples, Rav Chaim Shmulevitz in the Shmuz, of how far the hakaras hatayiv has to go. A person has to have that feeling, he wishes the one who's been lighting the candle and leading him the whole way, he wants to somehow light the menorah to reciprocate. And a person like Reuven feels, even though it was just a dream, it was a dream that Yosef had, everyone's going to bow down to him. It's better for Yosef if there's 11 stars and not 10. It's more people bowing down to Yosef. But there's a benefit that Reuven had, and Reuven had to find some zechus, some way to save Yosef's life. Avner here was very angry. Vayichar la'Avner ma'od. We're going to see in a moment, Avner was really controlling everything. He was the power behind the throne. And Ishbosheth didn't have any regard for that at all. He got straight to the point. Madua bosel pilegesh ovi. Why did you do this thing wrong? And it wasn't, as you say, it wasn't the king's wife. And there were reasons why Avner felt it would be allowed. Avner was a very great man. And he had his cheshbonos, why it should be permitted. Could be the taina was he should have discussed it before. He shouldn't have made it look just like he took her. He should have discussed about how he doesn't feel it would be a slight to the monarchy if he would take Ritzba Basaya. So Avner was very angry. And it could be he already felt previously that Ishbosheth perhaps doesn't deserve the throne. He instated Ishbosheth as king. But they had that skirmish, and the skirmish was supposed to show who Hashem wanted to be the leader of Klal Yisrael, and we know Binyamin lost. Could be already had his misgivings that maybe Ishbosheth shouldn't be the king. And now the fact that Ishbosheth reacted in such a way without thinking, without realizing who Avner was, without having any foresight of what the consequences could be, Avner became more convinced Ishbosheth is not the one who should be the king. Koyasa Elohim. So Ishbosheth said, so Hashem should do La'avner to Avner. V'cho Yosef lo, and he should do even more. And he doesn't complete exactly what the thought is, but the thought is that Avner saying, I deserve a tremendous punishment if I don't carry out what I plan to. Or this is like swearing with an oath that the consequences Hashem should mete out the punishment if I don't carry through my word. Ko yas Elokim v'la'avner v'cho Yosef lo. So Hashem should do, ki kasher nishba Hashem l'David. As Hashem swore to David, ki chein eselo, that's what I will do for David. Meaning, lahavir hamamlocha mi beishol, to transfer the kingdom from the household of Shol, ulahakim es kisei David, and to establish the throne of David, al Yisrael v'al Yehuda, on Yisrael and Yehuda, midon v'ad Beersheva, all the way from the north, which was done, all the way down south to Beersheva, all of Klal Yisrael will now be under the control of David. Now it'll all be transferred to be under the control of David. Avner is going to see to it that Ishbosheth loses the kingship. Avner never saw this through. We'll see shortly. Avner ends up being killed. But he was determined to transfer the power to David. Now, he swore with a shame, Yasel Ukim La'avner v'chol Yosef lo. I mean, he made a shvua. In other words, to show that he was convinced that this is all what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. In other words, he had felt Ishbosheth should be the king based on the way he darshan psukim, Umalachim Echal Otzecha Yetzeyu, that there would be kings coming from Binyamin. He had his reasons why he felt Hashem wanted Ishbosheth to be the king. And now he was swearing that it's clear that that's not what Hashem wants. Ki kasher nishba Hashem l'David, as Hashem swore to David. And we don't find that Hashem clearly swore to David he would be king. But sometimes if an expression is repeated twice, if it's repeated twice, that means it's permanent, it's like a shavua. Chazal mentioned Asher Nishpati Me'avor Me'Noach, that Hashem swore there won't be another marble. The same idea, Hashem repeated twice that there won't be a marble, that's like he swore. And two times, Hashem told Shol he's losing the Malchus and it's going to be given to somebody else. The first incident was in Gilgal. Shol was supposed to wait for Shmuel Hanavi before bringing a korban, and he didn't wait. And Hashem said, and Shmuel told Shol, Bikesh lo Hashem ish kilvavo. Hashem seeks for himself, sought for himself a man after his own heart. Hashem doesn't want Shol anymore as king, he's going to get somebody else. And then after Shol didn't destroy Amalek, again, Shmuel told Shol, Hashem has ripped away the Malchus, unesona l'reacha hatov mimecha, and he's given it to your friend who's better than you. So two times, Shol was told the throne would be taken away from him and given to somebody better. That could be as the Shvuah. Ki kasher nishba Hashem l'David. And first Avner makes the point, the same way, just like Hashem swore to David, that's what's going to be. David will get the throne. And ki chein, again he repeats the word ki. Ki kasher nishba Hashem l'David. And ki, because it's like a new point. Ki chein esalo. Not only am I convinced that David will become the king, but I will see to it that it happens. I'm not going to be a passive bystander. I'm not just going to withdraw from my involvement, but I'm actively going to see that Klal Yisrael is united under the ruling of David HaMelech. It's clear that he's not even leaving over Shevet Binyamin. In other words, at this moment, Ishbosheth is the king over all of Klal Yisrael, except Yehuda went with David. Now it's not just going to be all of Klal Yisrael under David, except for, let's say, Shevet Binyamin. But no, everything all the way from Dan to Be'er Sheva, all of Klal Yisrael will be under David, and Ishbosheth will have nothing. V'lo yachol od l'hashiv es Avner davar. Ishbosheth was not able to respond to Avner, not a word. Mir also from his fear of Avner. The truth is, he even see the way Avner spoke to Ishbosheth. There wasn't a fear of speaking to the king. He was angry at Ishbosheth for speaking the way he did. Or it was clear that Avner realized his importance, and Ishbosheth realized the importance of Avner. Everybody knew exactly who Avner was and his importance. And Ishbosheth couldn't say a word. But Yishlach Avner Malachim al David. Avner sent messengers to David, Tachtov. And one pshat in this is, Tachtov, from his place. From wherever he was, Avner sent messages to David, Lamor, saying, Lemi Oretz, to whom is the land? One pshat is, he said to him, who's the land? Of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem Haaretz Umloa. The land's all Hashem's. Lemi Oretz, by the one who owns the land, meaning by Hashem, Lamor, I'm saying, Korsa Brischa Yiti. Make your bris, make your treaty with me. V'nei yori imach, my hand will be with you. L'hosev elechos kol Yisrael, to turn toward you all of Klal Yisrael. It could also be Avner sending messengers to David. Tachtov, Chazal have a drosha. Tachtov, he mentioned David under him. Meaning the letter went as follows. Mimeni Avner, Sar Tzvo Yisrael. From me, Avner, the commander of all of Klal Yisrael, the army of Israel, to David, the king of Yisrael. The truth is, Avner might have looked at it as if he's the general, and he's basically the leader of all of Klal Yisrael, except David, as Yehuda. A general over his forces could be greater than the king, David. But it was a slight to David HaMelech's honor. In fact, Tachtov is written without a yud, as if to show that it was missing in his regard for David, the way he spoke to David. He sent messengers al David Tachtov to David under him. David was mentioned under him. And a third pshat in Tachtov, some say it was like almost like a power of attorney. Avner sent messengers to David Tachtov, and he told the Malachim, "You are instead of me. You have the whole power of striking a deal with David. I'm staying here." He stayed with Binyamin, he stayed with Ishbosheth, but he sent messengers to David. And the messengers are empowered to strike a deal that if David will make a bris, and David is willing to make a pact with Avner, Avner will see to it that everyone is united under David's rule. Avner sent messengers, al David, Tachtov, Lamor, Lemi Oretz. One pshaz, he sent them, the messengers, Lemi Oretz, to David. Who deserves to be the king of the land? To who is the land? It all should be David. And I realize that David, you deserve to control everything. Lamor saying, therefore, Korsa Brischa Iti. You should make your bris with me, and my hand will be with you to turn to you all of Klal Yisrael. The word lamor, there's a Ramban that discusses in Parshas Vayera. Lamor sometimes means to speak with a clarity, without any ambiguity. It's totally clear what the intention is. And there's another number of psukim in Tanakh where lamor would have to mean that. For example, Emor Elakav, or Dabra B'nai Yisrael, V'amarta Aleim, or say by Dabra Hashem Moshe, lamor. Hashem spoke to Moshe, Lamor, Dabrel b'nei Yisrael. So it can't mean like Lamor, as he told Moshe to say it over, because that's the next words, Dabrel b'nei Yisrael. So you have many psukim like that, where the word Lamor doesn't seem to me to convey the message to anyone else. Lamor can mean to speak with a clarity and with a clearness. Avner was telling David, don't think this is just a possibility, or perhaps Klal Yisrael will be turned to you, but a clear statement, Lemi Oretz, I realize you're the king. Avner sent the message, Lamor, saying clearly, Lemi Aretz, I realize the land is yours and David HaMelech deserves to be the king over all of Klal Yisrael. Lamor, again, this is very clear, will make a bris and you have my full support. Korscha brischa iti, make your covenant with me, v'nei yodi imoch, my hand will be with you. L'hosev elechas Klal Yisrael, to turn to you all of Klal Yisrael. Now, Avner doesn't mention at all what Ishbosheth is, what his reaction is going to be, and what Ishbosheth is going to do. But we'll see in a moment. Also, in terms of what we were mentioning, Tachtov, that Avner mentioned his name before David, the whole idea of making a bris is usually between two equals. You have two people on the same level. In other words, here it's like Avner's making a deal as an equal with David HaMelech. In other words, I'm the general. You're the king, we'll make a bris together, me and you, and I will, and then I'll back you. Whereas Avner, even to David, didn't feel that. He felt he was more powerful than Ishbosheth, and he was more powerful than David. But I'll make a bris with David. Vayomer Tov. So David said, that's good. Ani echrois itcha bris. I'll make a bris with you. Ach dover echor anochi shoel me itcha. But one thing I'm asking from you, Lamor saying, Lo sira es ponai, you shouldn't see my face, kim lifnei heviacha, only before you bring es Michal bas Shol, Michal, the daughter of Shol, bevoacha liros es ponai, when you come to see me. It's redundant, but he's stressing, you can't see me before you bring Michal, which will be when you see me. Or there's a strong stress that David is not going to consider any treaty or any covenant until Avner comes with Michal. Remember, what happened was Michal was given to David. Initially, when David had killed Goliath, Shaul promised that he'd be able to marry the king's daughter. In Merav, the older daughter was given to somebody else, and then he said, okay, I'll give you Michal, but he has to kill 100 Plishtim, bring back 100 of the Orlos, the foreskins from the Plishtim. And David went out and he actually killed 200. And then after that, Michal was given to David. And then there was the incidents with David fleeing from Shaul. And Shaul took Michal and gave Michal to Palti ben Laish. He gave Michal to another person. At this point, Shaul has already been killed. Avner is willing to unite Klal Yisrael under David. David is saying, I want nothing before you bring back Michal. Before you come to see me, you have to bring back Michal. The Malba mentions, other Meforshim, David didn't want it to look like he's usurping the throne, or that he's overthrowing Ishbosheth. In other words, first he consolidated power over Yehuda, now he's going to make his next move, and he gets the general on his side, and he's able to take over. Michal was his right. He's actually the son-in-law of Shaul HaMelech. In other words, he's a part of Shevet Binyamin also. He's married into the family. And he's the one that the Novi said should be the king. And once he goes ahead and Klal Yisrael unites over him, it won't have the same kavod, the same respect, as if right now when they're still separate, Michal is brought to David to show that David is right and she really is his wife. So before they unite, before anything happens, let it be known in Klal Yisrael that Michal was taken wrongfully and now she's being brought back to David, and David was given Michal by Shaul. And then afterwards, he'll become the king over Binyamin also. But it's not that he becomes the king and then he's able to get Michal. But beforehand, Michal should be brought to him. There's a discussion which we discussed previously also, when initially Shaul took Michal and gave Michal to Palti. But here again, we deal with it. Because Vayishlach David Malachi, David sent messengers El Ishbosheth ben Shaul to Ishbosheth, who was the son of Shaul, Lamor, saying, Tanoas Ishti, give my wife, Es Michal, Michal, Asheri Rasti Li, I was Makadesh her, I married her, B'meya Orlos Plishtim. Or she's my wife. And this discussion till now had been with Avner. But again, David didn't want to usurp the throne, he's now dealing directly with Ishbosheth. And we'll see, Ishbosheth goes along with it. This doesn't turn into a civil war, and Ishbosheth seems to understand that Avner, he can't oppose Avner, and Klal Yisrael is going to go over to David's side, and Ishbosheth cooperates. But David sends the message directly to Ishbosheth that Michal's his wife, and Ishbosheth should send Michal. This could be was also a test to Avner. Avner had sent messengers that he's willing to make a treaty, he's ready to make peace. And he'll bring everyone under David's control. David said, before you do anything, bring me Michal. If Michal is brought to David, that'll be a clear sign that they really intend to accept David as the king. This will be a test. Are you going to bring back Michal or not? Obviously, if it's just a trick and they plan to fight against David, they wouldn't do that. David didn't ask Ishbosheth previously either. I guess he figured that Ishbosheth would not agree. But now at this opportune time, where Avner is prepared to make peace, David realizes that Ishbosheth would be willing to send over Michal. The incident started that Avner took Ritzbah bas Ayah. That's how we began in Pasuk Zayin. We began today. Shaul took the Pilegesh. Avner took the Pilegesh of Shaul. Avner took Ritzbah bas Ayah. It sort of works out that Avner gets a kapara for that. He took for himself the king's Pilegesh. Now Avner is going to have the mission of seeing to it that the king's wife, David HaMelech's wife Michal, would be returned to David. And it would be easy. All he asks is to bring her. It's not going to be difficult to have Palti agree, because we'll see in a moment Palti didn't live with her at all. So Palti's going to agree that she should be sent back to David. But Avner is going to have to bring Palti. Avner will have to bring Michal to David. There was a machlokes. The reason why Shaul had taken Michal and given Michal to Palti, there were a number of different reasons. One reason was, Shaul had promised whoever kills Goliath will be able to marry the king's daughter and will also be given a tremendous wealth. And his family would be exempted from taxes, but it would be given a tremendous wealth. David killed Goliath and he didn't get the wealth. And he didn't get Merav, he didn't get the older daughter either. The question is, did David ever do a separate act of Kiddushin? It's not enough for a husband and wife to agree they want to be married. There has to be the legal, the Kinyan, what affects the marriage. You need a legal, a Kinyan, one of the acquisitions. David, when it was decided that David would kill the Plishtim, and he would bring the 100 orlos of Plishtim, the question was, Shaul never paid the money. David never got the money. So one opinion in the Gemara and Sanhedrin is, Shaul felt what David thinks the marriage is, because he's letting Shaul keep all the money. It's like all the money that he's being moichel Shaul, the fact that Shaul's keeping that money, that should be the money of Kiddushin. But money of a loan, if somebody owes money, and the husband, the chassan, says, you don't have to pay me back the money, that'll be Kiddushin. That's not a good marriage. He has to give her something at the time that he has to give her something for Kiddushin, not to cancel a loan. So Shaul felt that it wasn't a good marriage. There was no Kinyan. The fact that David was thinking probably that the wealth should be the kes of Kiddushin. Another opinion in the Gemara is he thought the 100 orlos plishtim are worthless. What are you going to do with a piece of skin? The fact that David risked his life and a nace, and this was certainly, and it could be even the skin is worth to give to a cat or something. But David HaMelech felt the 100 arlos is worth a pruta. And that's what he had in mind, that's the Kiddushin, that's the deal. whoever, if he brings the 100 Orlos Plishtim to Shul, he'll be able to marry the daughter. But Shul figured it wasn't a good Kiddushin. And he gave Michal to Palti. Vayishlach Ishboshes. Ishboshes sent the message, Vayikocheha Meim Ish. And they took Michal from, Hoshana means from her husband. Meim Paltiel ben Laish. From Paltiel ben Laish. That's Palti. But the Gemara says his name was Palti. And after the fact that he went through this nisayon, this test of being together with Michal all this time and not sinning, his name was called Paltiel, as if to say Palti Kale. Hashem helped him escape from the nisayon. Palti Kale, Hashem helped him escape. And Ben Laish actually also means a lion. Could be he was, but whether that was his name or it's called Palti Ben Laish. Vayelech ito isha. Her husband went together with her. Halochu vacho. He was going and crying achareo after her. Ad Bachurim, all the way up to the place called Bachurim. Vayomer lov Avner. And then Avner said to him, Lech, go shuv and return. Vayoshov and Palti returned. Avner said, the fact that you're going this whole distance crying, that Michal's being taken away from you, it's a disgrace. It's a disgrace for you. For you, it's a disgrace for you. It's a disgrace for David. In other words, you're making it look like your wife is being taken from, it was David's wife and then it's given to you and it's being taken away from you. It's a bizayon. Just go back. Leich shuv, go and return. Vayoshev and he returned. Chazal say in Sanhedrin, a true picture of what happened, which you don't see clearly in the Psukim, without seeing Chazal. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin on Daf Yud Tes Amid Beis, it mentions, Paltiel Shepolto Kael Min Havera. Hashem saved him from the Havera. Ma'asa, what did he do? Na'at Tzcherev Beino Leveino. He stuck a sword in between himself and Michal. Omar, and he said, Kol Ha'oisek B'dover Zeh. Whoever involves himself with this sin, Yidoker B'cherev should be stabbed with a sword. Or it's pushing, he put it there as a visual. You know, a lot of times a person is inspired and a person has a yisayrus and a person has a determination. But we're going to see this is not a one-day nisayon, but it's a test that went on day after day, after week, after month, after years. It's a question exactly how long it was. But the Gemara assumes the Pashat it was a long time. He needed a constant reminder. He looked at that sword and he said, oh, that reminded him of his determination not to slip in the Avera. So the Gemara asks, Vaksiv, it says, Vayelech ito isha. It says her husband went with her. That's what the Pasuk says, her husband went with her. And the Gemara says, Shenasa lo ki isha, that he became to Micha like a husband. Rashi says, Shehoya megadla u'mechavava. He like raised her, and she was still young. She had been married off by her father. She was a katana. And he was mechavav her. He treated her with caring, with endearment, which is like, makes the nisoyon so much greater. But Michal was stuck. So I guess he figured he has his nisoyon, but she shouldn't suffer. They put the sword there that they should remember not to do anything, any Avera, yet at the same time, he was like her husband. Sigmar asks, Voksiv, it says, Holochu vocho ad, Holochu vocho. He was going and he was crying. We just learned in this pasuk. He's crying. Why is he crying? Al ha-mitzvah de'ozel minei. He was crying because he was losing this chance of a mitzvah. Or the zechus that he had, that he was omed b'nisayon, and now the battle's over. The nisayon's over, Michal's being taken back. So he cried at losing this mitzvah. And he went ad bachurim, the pasuk says. Shenasu shneim ki bachurim. And the Gemara says, because they were both like bachurim, like young like young people, shlotam utambiya, who are of the age where they didn't involve themselves with any relations. Shlotam tambiya. Like they were young, they were underage. He didn't sin at all. The Gemara afterwards says it's a tremendous shvach on the following tzaddikim. The Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Tokvel Shal Yosef, the power, the strength of Yosef HaTzadik on Visanusa Shal Boaz was the humility, was the small, insignificant action of Boaz. Meaning, the greatness of Yosef HaTzadik, the Gemara seems to be saying, paled in insignificance to what Boaz did. And we'll see in a moment. Tokvo Shal Boaz, the strength of Boaz, when he was confronted with Rus and the granary, that the strength of that Nisoyon was on Vesanusa Shal Palti Ben Laish. That was the insignificant level of Palti. Palti seems to have been much greater. Tokvo Shal Yosef on Vesanusa Shal Boaz. Dichsiv, it says, Vahi Bachatzi HaLaila. It was at midnight, in the middle of the night. Vayechrad HaYish VayilofeS. Poshet Boaz trembled by Ilofes. Poshet Boaz like grabbed. He felt around. All of a sudden, he realized somebody else is there. By Ilofes, my by Ilofes, some Rav Shenasa Besoro Karoshe Liftos. The Gemara learns he had a tremendous Yetzahara. Was an Isayon at that point. Should he live with Rus? And there was reasons to permit it. Rus had said that he needs somebody has to do the mitzvah of Yibum. And it said that she had washed herself before, and she was tahira. But Rashi points out, Rashi says that the nisayon, the greatness of Boaz, va'afa pisha penuya hoisa, v'imo b'mita, avo Yosef, eshes ish hoisa, v'eina imo b'mita. We all know the Gemara mentions elsewhere in Yuma about the tremendous nisayon of Yosef HaTzadik. That every single day, Ashes Potiphar tried to get him to sin, and she would change the clothing, what she wore in the morning, she didn't wear in the evening. She was constantly doing things to attract his attention, and she was talking to him, and it was on a constant basis. There was the trying to persuade him, and then there were the threats that if he doesn't do that, he's going to suffer. And Lamaisa Yosef held on with an Isayim. But as Rashi points out, on the other hand, Yosef knew she's an Ashes Ish. She has a husband. And they weren't together in bed. Yosef refused to have any shaykhs below. Lishkavetz the Leosima. Yosef kept away from her. Boaz was here confronted that Rus came when he was lying in the Goyren. And she was mutter, she was a penuya. Rus isn't married. And yet Boaz was able to be Oymid bin Isoyim. So I was so... As difficult as Yosef HaTzadik's Nisoyon was, Boaz's was greater. And the Gemara continues, Tokfo Shel Boaz, but the strong Nisoyon of Boaz was on Vesanusa Shel Palti Ben Laish. That was insignificant, that was like the minor, that would be a minor test for Palti. Kiramoran, as we just said. And Rashi explains, because Boaz was a one-night Nisoyon. In the middle of the night, it was till morning he had that Nisoyon. Palti was Shonim Rabos. Palti was many years. He had this Nisoyon to remain firm and not to change his conviction with day after day after week after month. Rashi says Shonim Rabos for many years. So he went after her, Vayomrei Lov, Avner Lechshu, Vayoshov, and then Avner said, turn back, and he turned back. David took Michal back. Obviously, he wanted Michal to come back, and we'll see. Michal was brought back. The question is, what was David's heter? If she was actually married to Palti, so then she should be also to David. Now, as we say, it's clear in the Gemara that Lamaisa, she never lived with anybody else besides David. So there was no problem with David taking her back. It's interesting, the Rashba, some Mephorshim learn. They work with, or the Gemara has drushas, which is Torah Semes, but the Pesukim also can sometimes be understood al piderach apshat. if the pasuk is written in a certain way, so sometimes the way it's written is a lesson and there's a way to understand it with the pshuta shel mikra, the simple meaning. And the Rashba in his tshuva, in his tshuvas, in the 10th tshuva, explains, also it discusses this. And he mentions that the truth is, even if she had been married to David previously, and even if she was given to Palti and she would have lived with Palti, the truth is she still would not be usher to David. Because Shaul HaMelech Paskin, and Shaul was one of the greatest Chachamim, and Shaul Paskin, she's mutter, it's not a marriage, and she's mutter to marry Palti. So she went to Palti. She thought that Palti was her husband. And he brings proofs from the Gemara that if the woman thinks it's her husband, so that's not called zanus. That doesn't make her usher to her husband. Besides the fact that if she was given in marriage by her father, she was a katana. So pitui katana anusu. As if a katana agrees to something, a minor agrees, they consented. But they don't have das, they don't have the mature understanding to be responsible for their actions, and it's considered to be an oinus. So even on the, even without learning it with the drush of Chazal, the simple meaning, even if she would have been with Palti, but there was no question that David was mutter to take back Michal. And other Mephoshim explained that David knew with Ruach HaKodesh or with Nevuah that nothing had happened between Palti and Michal. So David insisted that Michal should be brought back, and she was brought back. Udvar Avner Hoya. The word of Avner was Im Zikne Yisrael Lema with the Zakenim of Kal Yisrael saying, Gam Tmul Gam Shilshom, yesterday and the day before, Hayisim Evakshim Es David, you were seeking David Lamelech Aleichem. You wanted David as a king previously. This is not a new development. From the time that David killed Goliath, Klal Yisrael wanted David. Va'ato asu. So now is the time to act on that. Now you should do with that knowledge. Ki Hashem Amar al David Leimar. Hashem said to David, saying, V'yad David Avdi, in the hands of David my servant, Hoshias Am Yisrael, save my people, Klal Yisrael. Miyad Plishtim, from the hands of the Plishtim, or Miyad Kol Oyveihem, and from the hands of all of the enemies of Klal Yisrael. To be a king, again, it needs two things. It needs that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, of course, he should be the king, and Klal Yisrael has to accept him. So Avner told the people, David is wanted by Klal Yisrael. You all wanted David, Gam Tmol, Gam Shilshom. Previously already you wanted David as the king. And Hashem said that David should be king. So there's no question that everyone should accept David as the king. There's nothing further to discuss. In Tehillim, Perek Beis, David says, Hashem Omar Eli, Hashem said to me, B'ni ata, you're my son. Ani hayom yelid aticha. It's like I gave birth to you today. I have this special love and special caring for David. Sha'almi meni, ask from me, ve'et na goyim nachluz ha'secha. I'll give goyim to be your nachla, and v'achuzoscha afsei oretz, and you'll control to the ends of the earth. Teroim b'shevet barzel, you'll smash them, you'll smash the goyim with an iron rod to defend and to help to save Klal Yisrael. It could be that's what David, what the pasuk is referring to when it says, "Ki Hashem Omar el David Lamar." Hashem said to David. Rashi says, "Pasha Peshad is Hashem Omar," as if it would say, "Al David." Hashem said about David that he will be the one to save Klal Yisrael. But Rashi says, "Ve'eno zoz mi mashmos el." It's still, I mean, that's what el means. Hashem was like speaking to David. This is David's mission. So first Avner spoke to the Zakenim. He spoke to the elders. And he was able to convince them that they certainly should make David the king over all of Klal Yisrael. Vayidaber gam Avner ba'oznei Binyamin. And Avner spoke also to the ears of Binyamin. Binyamin needed a separate appeal. because Binyamin was Ishbosheth's shevet. Or is it true Ishbosheth controlled all of Klal Yisrael, had done enough Naphtali and Issachar and everything else, but over there, those Shvatim, David wasn't from their shevet, and Ishbosheth wasn't from their shevet. So it's easier to get the people to switch their loyalty. But Binyamin was actually Ishbosheth's tribe. So he spoke separately, Ba'azni Binyamin. Ba'yelech gam Avner, and then Avner also went, L'dabr Ba'azni David. After this, he went and he spoke to David. Bechevron in Chevron, Eis kol asher tov ve'enei Yisrael. All that was good in the eyes of Klal Yisrael, uve'enei kol beis Binyamin, and the eyes of beis Binyamin also. In other words, he's coming to David to say, all of Klal Yisrael, including Shevet Binyamin, is willing and eager to make David the king. And this was a bold move of Avner. In other words, Avner, before he had sent messengers, now Avner himself was entering enemy territory. He's going to go to, he went to Chevron and he told David, Vayavo Avner al David Chevron. Avner came to David in Chevron. V'ito Esrim Anoshim. He had a group of 20 people with him. In other words, this is an official visit. He came with 20 men. Vayas David la Avner v'la Anoshim asher ito mishta. And David made for Avner and for the men with him a mishta. He made a banquet. He had a royal meal. So Avner went to Chevron. Now we'll see Yoav was not there. Yoav was the one again. Yoav ben Tsruya was David's general, and Avner was the general for Ishbosheth. And Avner had fought against Yoav, and he had killed Yoav's brother Asael. He had killed him in self-defense. Asael was that quick runner who had been pursuing Avner, but Yoav wasn't here. Yoav was not here at the time. Avner came into Chevron, which, as I say, was a daring move, because when he came into Chevron, there's no knowing when Yoav might show up, or who else. It's with Shevet Yehuda. It was known that Avner was the one opposing David all this time. But he went to Chevron to meet with David and to make peace. Vayomer Avner al David. Avner said to David, Akuma, I'll get up, ve'elechon, I'll go, ve'ekbetzoel Adoni HaMelech, and I will gather to my master the king, as kol Yisrael. All of Klal Yisrael will be gathered to David. V'yichrasu itcha bris, and they'll make a bris with you, a treaty. Umalachta, and you will rule b'chol asher t'aven avshecha, over everything that you want. He seems to be hinting that if David decides to leave Ishbosheth a city, if he wants to leave over Ishbosheth something, David can do what he wants. All of Klal Yisrael will be united. David can rule over everything. If he only wants to rule over some of it, that's also his option, but all of Klal Yisrael is ready to accept David as the king. And it doesn't say clearly what David answered. But Vayishalach David es Avner, David sent Avner, Vayilach b'shalom, and he went in peace. David heard him out, and we can assume that David agreed that Avner should go and unite Klal Yisrael to be under the ruling of David HaMelech. For sponsorship opportunities, please call 718-436-3024. Thank you.